Jesus the good teacher, Jesus the therapist, Jesus the giver of bling. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. It's written by regular guest Dr. Matt Richard. Read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or purchase Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? By calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up?
I've been a strong critic of New York Times when it's needed, when they mess up stories or when they don't do a good job covering issues. This is beyond the pale. I mean, this is Stalinesque rewriting of history to serve a political agenda.
You can support or oppose Vought's nomination, but opposing him because of his theological views is at the very least a violation of the spirit of the Constitution.
The kids have to carry the cross. The adults put the cross down and the children pick it up. That's what divorce means.
Paul says that we participate in the sufferings of Christ. That suffering, Hebrews 12, is a discipline like a father has for a child.
Of course, the New Testament talks about something that we might call spiritual warfare. Paul talks about being on the battlefield. We have this ancient concept of the church militant as opposed to the church at rest and triumphant in rest and repose with Christ, awaiting the resurrection. So there is a warfare going on, but the New Testament is very careful in how it describes this. And what passes for spiritual warfare in Pop American Christianity today is often very different from what the New Testament presents. Welcome back to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, June the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be doing This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough, talking about a modern apostle, claimed apostle, who is casting out the demon of Lutheran religious spirit. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Four soundbites we'll play for you. And then you vote for one of those soundbites to be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our email address, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page. You could vote in advance for soundbite of the week, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity to talk about a modern apostle who claims to be casting out the demon of the Lutheran religious spirit, Pastor Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
How important is spiritual warfare in the new apostolic reformation we've talked about, and how is that warfare allegedly waged?
All right. In the new apostolic reformation, one of the major reasons why they give as to why God has apparently restored apostles to earth is because of their strategic value in giving orders and, you know, waging spiritual warfare for multiple congregations or for entire regions. And so spiritual warfare is a major motif within the New Apostolic Reformation, and it is practically an obsession on their part to figure out the names of ancient demons, to do kind of like demonological genetic, you know, trees, to figure out which demons were prominent in a particular area, to ascertain the names of those particular demons. And once they can get the demon named, then they have the authority to cast it out of a region. At least that's how they claim it. And so they are very obsessed with deliverance and inner healing ministries, taking notes, talking to demons in the process of their deliverance ministries and things like that, and then getting the names of demons so that they can cast them out. It's a very bizarre aspect of the New Apostolic Reformation that a lot of people don't talk about in public, but is very well documented in their books and in their teachings.
So this is, just to put a fine point on it, common?
It's not just common, it's a vital core component of the New Apostolic Reformation.
Then, if this is being done, and this, I want your evaluation first before we get into these examples, okay? Because what's wrong with this as opposed to what Scripture speaks of in terms of what we might call spiritual warfare?
What's interesting is that spiritual warfare in Scripture is almost, and I hate to say this, like a non-event. It does happen from time to time that we bump into the demonic. The demonic is real. But over and again, when that happens, that's pretty almost like a non-event due to the fact that, yes, we do have authority over them. But the reality is that the weapons of our warfare are not physical. They're spiritual. And what is it that we combat the devil with? Well, our primary weapon is the written word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit. And so all of the armor listed in Ephesians, this is armor designed to cover our front so that we can stand our ground, and our only offensive weapon really is the word of God. And then Jesus has made it clear that certain types of demons, they come out by, well, get this, prayer and fasting. And so when, you know, we definitely bump into, you know, the demonic and forces that resist us, but when that happens, what do? We preach the word, we pray, we fast. And which doesn't sound sexy at all. And many people, because of kind of like the Hollywood versions of demon movies, think that that's like some kind of standard way in which, you know, spiritual warfare is waged. But that Hollywood-esque approach to these things is not what you find in Scripture. If anything, you know, in the book of Acts, you have a couple of examples of the demonic or people who are demonized. And again, it practically turns into a non-event. And if anything, the demonic ends up being annoying rather than foreboding. And you have no examples in Scripture of the apostles telling us that we need to learn the names of demons and then exercise our authority to cast them down from their thrones in the heavenlies so that we can advance the kingdom. This is a completely foreign concept that the NAR teaches as far as spiritual warfare goes.
So you have some examples. What will we be hearing first, Chris?
Well, actually, we are going to, all of these bites are going to kind of build on each other. We're going back to October of 2016, and we are going to be listening to a fellow who claims to be an apostle. His name is John Alley, and he is going to be explaining how spiritual warfare needs to be waged. He's at a conference called the Lutheran Renewal, and the Lutheran Renewal basically is a charismatic movement within the Lutheran churches of Australia, and he's basically trying to get them to buy into this idea of the NAR approach to spiritual warfare and who the real enemies that they face are. And so each bite kind of builds on the other, and this is his introduction to, you know, kind of putting their toes in the water to get them used to this concept of spiritual warfare.
You know, you've got an enemy that is just seeking to destroy, seeking to devour. But friends, fortunately, we can live in victory above it. We can deal with it. The thing you need to understand is denominations do get manipulated by dark powers. And so you shouldn't be too surprised if tradition is hard to move, because there'll be a spirit on it, holding it in place, reinforcing it. Somebody tries to bring in freshness or light or movement, oh, that'll get resisted. There's a spirit that resists it. And you can pretty much call it by the name of the denomination. This is not meant to be a derogatory word on the history of the denomination or the good people in it. Every denomination is full of good people and will have truths and a good history and all of that, and we honor it and we love it, but we must be aware of the darkness that has infiltrated and seeks to repress the work of Christ.
So what did we hear there, Chris?
All right, you're going to notice that he sets up this dichotomy between good and evil. Evil is tradition. Good is freshness. And evil represses freshness. And the reason for it, according to John Alley, is because there is a demonic spirit associated with tradition. And so that's kind of his introduction to this idea of spiritual warfare. And the first thing he does is basically help you identify who the different teams are. So those Lutherans that follow the liturgy, who deny the modern manifestations of the charismatic gifts via the Pentecostal and charismatic movements, they are demonically opposing the freshness that God is trying to bring into the church, that Jesus himself is trying to bring into the church. And the reason for their resistance to these fresh things that the Spirit is up to, well, it's the demonic. So that's how you go about it. Now, notice here, there is no examination of the doctrine being taught in churches that follow the liturgy. None whatsoever. Whether or not the pastor rightly handles the word of God, rightly divides law and gospel, proclaims repentance and the forgiveness of sins, bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. None of that. No. You know immediately that a pastor is working with the forces of darkness to repress the freshness that the Spirit is trying to bring into the church based solely upon whether or not they're liturgical and traditional.
So how he's framed this question is is very, very important, having basically labeled what people should regard as demonic. And I noticed, by the way, he has cited zero, absolutely zero scriptural argument or evidence for his assertion.
This is absolutely correct. Now, earlier in his speech, he actually spends almost an hour giving three anecdotal stories from his life where he is claiming direct revelation from God. God speaks to him, revealed this thing, certain things happened, tells another story, God told him this, certain things happened. And so he spends an hour basically giving his credentials. He's a fellow who's in the know because God speaks directly to him. And it also just so happens he is one of the new apostles that God has restored to the earth. So therefore, what he's saying must be true because he is an apostle and he hears directly from God, yet he's not quoting any biblical text or even working in biblical categories regarding what is true versus evil, what is right or wrong, what is sound versus disease doctrine. That, not at all. He's claiming all of this by virtue of his apostolic office and the fact that he hears directly from God.
The next cut, what should we be listening for?
All right, so now he's going to begin to introduce him to the method that he's going to be engaging in for confronting these evil demonic spirits. And so, you know, so again, he's easing these Lutherans into the NAR, because the people who are in the audience are people who are being introduced to NAR concepts. They're not indoctrinated. They're not fully catechized yet. So he's trying to ease them into this concept. So he'll explain the techniques by which he goes about this.
I'm going to pray, and we're going to pray some prayers of release. I mean, all I've ever experienced is when you address something by name, you get freedom. Over the years, I and others have often found that when someone has been oppressed by a Masonic spirit, you know, very often a lady will come and her grandfather was a Mason, but there's, you know, she's sick, she's oppressed, there's a history of it in the family, and sure, it's a Masonic curse. And you can pray, they can renounce the lodge. I don't know with any of your experience with this, but sometimes it's very hard to get those people free. Well, I discovered why. In the discovery of this truth of denominational spirits, what we realized was a lot of churches were started by the lodge, and a lot of lodges were started by churches, and very often the office bearers in one were the office bearers in another. This is complete syncretism. So the reason as Christians, very often you find it hard to rebuke and cast out a Masonic spirit or break a Masonic curse, is because the denominational spirit of which you're a part is protecting it. So when I rebuke the Baptist spirit, rebuke the Catholic spirit, all I'm dealing with are unclean spirits that were going by that name. But in rebuking them, you get access to these other things.
Okay, Chris, with a few minutes here before we take a break, what did we hear there?
Okay, so he was talking about two particular techniques that they use in the NAR for spiritual warfare. One is called the prayer of release. So he's going to engage in prayers of releasing in order to set people free from the influences of these demonic spirits, as well as directly rebuking these spirits. And you're going to note then that he, in telling, in kind of easing them in to prepare them for what it is that they are going to witness him doing, that he also reiterated the fact that many of the reasons why there's so much resistance to the freshness of what God wants to do is due to the fact that not only are these denominational spirits present, that, and this was a revelation, he described it as a revelation, not only are they present, but they're the direct result of apparently Masonic curses. And so now you've kind of woven into it some kind of a conspiracy theory, you know. So, you know, the Masons had conspired to plant these churches, and there's actual Masonic curses that are on these Lutheran churches that practice the liturgy. And you didn't know this, but the people who were at the elders at these churches, they were in the Masonic lodge, and they are the ones who curse these churches, which is the reason why they are opposing the work of the Spirit, which is why we got to do a prayer of release and then rebuke these denominational spirits that are the direct result of these Masonic curses. So notice the narrative here, and again, no texts to substantiate any of this, just the revelation, the claim that this is the revelation of the things that they've been learning while practicing this spiritual warfare.
It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about a modern apostle who is casting out the demon of Lutheran religious spirit. A mutual friend of ours, Dr. Matt Richard, has written a great book, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. You can find out more about this book that lays out those popular Christs, the Jesuses who are popular in other religions, in the culture, and sadly sometimes even in the church. You can give Concordia Publishing House a call, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? Or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. When we come back, we're going to hear more from John Alley, the alleged prophet who's casting out the demon of religious spirit, the Lutheran religious spirit. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Stay tuned.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
I've got some friends down in Houston.
Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, Word and Sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271. Or visit ChristRochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
When you have kids, there's a whole lot more to call you out of your self-centeredness.
The Lord's mercy is opened up to us by the death of Jesus on the cross. Paul says that he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also together with him give us all things?
The reason we stand opposed to sin is not because it hurts me. The reason we stand opposed to sin is because it hurts the sinner. And we need to reclaim that in all sins, not just a few.
Do we now have a state-mandated form of liberal religion whose doctrines are now acceptable in the state?
In about 15 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll hear those four soundbites in their entirety, and then it'll be your opportunity to pick one by voting for it. And if it gets enough votes, it'll be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about a modern apostle, or claimed modern apostle, John Alley, who is casting out the demon of the Lutheran religious spirit. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. Chris, what is next?
All right. Next, we're going to hear the leader of the Lutheran Renewal Movement, Edgar Mayer, as he has come forward to basically, number one, give his endorsement for what it is that Apostle John Alley is saying and encourage John Alley to boldly not hold back, but to do what is necessary to overcome this denominational spirit that is oppressing Lutheranism.
What about message? Would you agree?
What about message?
What about message? I just want to make it very clear publicly. I asked John to preach this. I asked him to pray for us. It's a whole conference worth of unpacking it. But I ask you if you want to come forward. And it's not against any denomination, but it's against the spirit. Lots of religious spirit. And comes against us. And we really want to receive prayer. And really want to say we're standing here in faith and we're receiving it. And we're agreeing with you in prayer. And really just encourage you. You're here with full authority, full blessing of us. And really go for it.
Okay. Friends, please remember, you do have authority over spirits. Jesus gave it clearly to his disciples, not just to his 12. They came back and said, Lord, even the spirits are subject to us in your name. I know he said, don't rejoice in that, but your name's in heaven. Still, the fact remains, they are subject to you. And I often say this to spirits. I quite often deal with principalities. I will say to them, you are subject to me in Jesus' name, stand aside. And they've never not done so. So it takes a confidence in the Word of God. This is faith stuff. Faith and authority, the two always work together. And these were two things I was very clear on from the time I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not arrogant. It's just the way it is. It's the facts. It's the state of play to rest in it and believe.
Okay, Chris, he's made a claim there based upon something that you need to explain. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then, of course, the claim that he has authority over demons.
Yeah, so they're going back to this the passage where Christ tells the disciples, I've given you authority over demons, and they go out and they actually cast out demons, and they were rejoicing over this. And Jesus specifically says, don't rejoice about that, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And the church does have authority when confronting the demonic to, you know, we have authority over it. I mean, Christ has given us that authority, but we exercise that authority in his name. We don't have it residing in ourselves. The authority is in Christ, and we're exercising it on his behalf. That's an important distinction, but they don't quite make that because they rather than saying the Lord rebuke you, they say I rebuke you, which is a very different thing altogether. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an erroneous doctrine, and it is one of the two primary distinctives within the charismatic and Pentecostal movements. Let me explain. The two distinctives of the charismatic movement are the second baptism, known as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as evidenced by speaking in tongues. And because they deny the efficacy of water baptism, and they deny that the Spirit is working in baptism. Therefore, what happens is your water baptism is something you do to show the world that you've made a decision for Jesus. And that's an important thing. And of course, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. But now you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, which is a second baptism. And there's no means necessary for that. That happens to you directly. And the evidence that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit is that you speak in tongues. Forget the fact that 1 Corinthians 12 literally teaches that not all speak in tongues. Their doctrine is contrary to this. So their view of baptism and this secondary baptism of the Holy Spirit are non-biblical doctrines. Scripture is very clear that there's one baptism, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And Peter makes it clear that when we are baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's a whole other, that's almost like a whole other topic for another time. But you kind of get the idea of where he's going with this. And now that he's been over a period of, several minutes, actually a little bit longer, like 10, 20 minutes, preparing them for what it is that he's about to do so that they're not shocked and dismayed by what it is that's going to come out of his mouth. He's now finally ready to let it fly and to engage in full-blown spiritual warfare against the demonic forces and the religious spirits that are oppressing the Lutheran Church and holding it back from the fresh move of God.
And so we stand here today, and in the name of the Lord Jesus, resist the darkness that has sought to resist us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I take authority over every institutional spirit, every denominational spirit, and I bind your power. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, and I cut you off from our lives. I cut you off from our cities. I take authority over every denominational and institutional spirit in all the churches, denominations, and missions of Adelaide, and I bind the spirits, and in Jesus' name, cut you off. And I bind the Lutheran spirit in Jesus' name. And along with the Lutheran spirit, the spirit of religion, the spirit of tradition, and every spirit of pride and of arrogance, we bind. In Jesus' name, I declare the Lutheran spirit is bound. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I release the Lutheran work of Christ. I bless the Lutheran work. I bless the churches. I bless the pastors. I bless the people. And all through South Australia, over every town, every village, I bind the Lutheran spirit in Jesus' name and release the works of Christ.
All right, Chris. Would John Alley here, would he consider you or me under the influence of these demons of Lutheran religious spirit?
Both of us.
Why?
Both of us are hopelessly demonized and under the oppressive demonic realm that is keeping us from embracing the fresh moves of the Spirit. He literally would, he teaches, he absolutely would agree that you and I are what is wrong in Christianity and that we are demonic dupes.
Why? What about our theology, our practice, would he find to be demonic?
Number one, the liturgy, the structure in the service, the fact that we do not have everybody speaking in tongues, the fact that we do not allow anybody to just get up and say, thus saith the Lord, that somehow we are oppressing and holding under our thumbs, demonically so, the fresh words that God is trying to speak into his church, and that we're not participating with the NAR in taking dominion over all the earth by helping to conquer the seven mountains of influence in the spheres of the world in order to claim the world for Jesus, take dominion over the earth so that Jesus can return again.
Chris, you are often hearing, I'm sure you are hearing, that the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, is lunatic fringe. It is so far out on the horizon, we don't need to pay attention to it, and that it's certainly not mainstream and pop American Christianity. But here we see it among Lutherans in Australia. What's your response to that often heard criticism?
Yeah, the person who says that the NAR is lunatic fringe is dealing with old information. At one point, it was the lunatic fringe, but the reality is that it's an extremely aggressive movement. There's a book that was recently published by Oxford University Press talking about network Christianity. I would recommend people pick that up because that book actually makes it very clear that not only is this a growing trend, it has taken over many of the third world nations as far as evangelicalism is concerned. This network Christianity, it's all over Southeast Asia. It is definitely firmly embedded in Australia. It is very strong and growing here in the United States. And I would basically argue that based upon how almost insanely quickly it is growing and metastasizing, that this is a fight that we're going to find not in the lunatic fringe. We're going to find this within our own churches. In fact, there are many Lutheran congregations who aren't even aware of this, that the people in their congregations are being heavily influenced by leaders and apostles within the NAR, and they may not even know it, and they're trying to introduce and be advocates for these exact doctrines. So it's an extremely dangerous movement. Again, the book Network Christianity, published by Oxford University Press earlier in the year, would be a good place to start on this.
Chris, you'll be doing some real spiritual warfare on Fighting for the Faith tonight. Tell us about it.
Tonight we're going to be taking a look at what's called the Sonship Doctrine in the New Apostolic Reformation and their justification for claiming that everybody needs to be hearing prophetically from God, despite the fact that 1 Corinthians 12 says that not all are prophets, and it's based on what they call the Sonship Doctrine. We'll be talking about that on today's episode of Fighting for the Faith.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristian.com. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with you, our listeners, playing a game we like to play at the end of the broadcast week. And since we're coming to you live on this Friday, June the 23rd, it's time to play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We have our four soundbites ready to go. We're going to play them for you on the other side of the break. And then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week is next.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
If you've ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and have wondered why more people from my congregation aren't here, check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so the pastors of your circuit can organize, promote, and present a seminar that appeals to the members of your congregation, even the youth, is provided free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.
If you've ever wondered why Amazing Grace is the national anthem of funerals, or pondered the state of your eternal soul after you die, the Lutheran Witness has you covered. Check out the June and July issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn more about death, dying, heaven, and hell. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness for a special offer of $6.99 for six digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.